Does God's glory fill your life? Does God's glory fill your body? You remember when in the New Testament that they went after a couple of the disciples, and then one of the things that they said is that they said they took note that these men had been with Jesus. What was going on? There was something on the inside that came out on the outside.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude Holiness in the Body from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Holiness in the Body.
That next slide with the Ark of the Covenant. Right there, back in the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies is what's known as the Ark of the Covenant. This was back there where the presence, where God's Shekinah glory was the Ark of the Covenant. And you see the Ark is that little box there on the bottom, and on top of it is what's called the mercy seat. And that's where these two angels face each other and spread their wings toward one another. That's the mercy seat. But you know what? There were three things that were in the Ark. Three things that were in the ark. One thing was a pot of manna, you know, that they, when they were in the wilderness and as they came through the wilderness, they put a pot of manna in there. The second thing was Aaron's rod that budded. And the third thing that was in there was the Ten Commandments, the law of God. What did the Holy of Holies contain? It contained the very law of God, the Ten Commandments. And so as believers, that our life should reflect the law of God. Look what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means that our life should be filled with the word. That anytime we have the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus and look at the Word of God, that we should take advantage of that, because our life should be filled with the Word. Just like the Word was back in the tabernacle, just like the Word was back in the temple. It says in Exodus 40 and verse 21, and he brought the ark into the tabernacle. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 7, and the priest brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, and the oracle of his house, even into the most holy under the wings of the cherubim. The word of God should be in us. I heard a story about four brothers who came up in a very difficult time. Their mother struggled and put them all through college, and they all became successful. And so they wanted to bless their mother, and so they began to come together. They didn't live in the same place where she lived, and they wanted to, for all that she did, just show their gratefulness and their kindness to their mother. So the first one bought his mother a house. The second one, knowing that the first one had bought a house, he bought a theater, home theater in there for $100,000, put it in his mother's house. The third son brought her a top-of-the-line Mercedes-Benz. And the fourth son, he knew that his mother loved the Lord, and he knew that his mother loved the Word of God. And so he went and bought this parrot for her. And this parrot, it took 12 preachers over 20 years, but this parrot memorized the whole Bible. The whole Bible. And he thought, for sure, man, this is, my mom would like this. And so after the mother received all this, she began to write her son's thank you notes. And she wrote the first one, Milton, you have provided a huge house. I can only live in one room at a time, and it takes me forever to clean it. But I want to thank you anyways. The second one, Marvin, she said, you bought me a 500-seat theater. And most of my friends are dead, and I can hardly hear, and I can hardly see, but I thank you anyways. Michael, you bought me a Mercedes, and I'm too old to drive. I stay at home, and I never use it, but I want to thank you anyways. And then he says, Milton, he said, you were the only son who had good sense to give me a thoughtful gift. And I just want to let you know that that chicken was very delicious. She had what? She had the Word of God in her, right? She had the Word of God in her. And that's what God wants. God wants us to get the Word of God in us, that we are containers for the Word of God. We are containers that hold, you know, the whole Word of God. We might not have it memorized like that parrot, but we should be containers for this Word. And let this Word, as Paul said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The fourth or fifth thing that we see in this comparison is that they were both places that glorified the Lord. The tabernacle, it says, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Again, verses that we read, 2 Chronicles 7:1. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And then when we look at the believer, that we should glorify God in our bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have of God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That our life, our body, should be a reflection of the glory of God. Our words, our acts, our attitudes, they should all reflect the glory of God. A little book that I've read over the years, and I would recommend, I don't know if we have it in our bookstore or not, but a little booklet, My Heart, Christ's Home. Written by a Presbyterian pastor, and he kind of relates the fact that our home, our bodies, are like a house, and that Christ should live in every part. But let me read this one section in here. He talks about the rec room, you know, as we deal with this idea that we should glorify the Lord. He says, I remember the time he inquired about the rec room, where I went for fun and fellowship. I was hoping he would not ask me about that. There were certain associations and activities I wanted to keep for myself. I did not think Jesus would enjoy or approve of them. I evaded the question. However, one evening when I was on my way out with some of my buddies for a night on the town, he was at the door and he stopped me with a glance. Are you going out? Yes, I answered. Good, he said. I would like to go with you. Oh, I replied rather awkwardly. I don't think, Lord, that you would really enjoy where we are going. Let's go out tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we can go to a Bible class or a social event at the church, but tonight I have another engagement. As you wish, was his comment. Only I thought when I came into your home, Jesus said, we were going to do everything together, be close companions. Just you know that I am willing to go with you. Well, I said, we'll go someplace together tomorrow night. That evening, I spent some miserable hours. I felt rotten. What kind of friend was I to Jesus? Deliberately leaving him out of the part of my life, this part of my life, doing things and going to places that I knew very well he would not enjoy. When I returned that evening, there was a light in his room, and I went up to talk it over with him. I acknowledge, Lord, I have learned my lesson. I know I can't have a good time if you are not alone. From now on, we will do everything together. Then we went down together into the rec room of the house. He transformed it. He brought new friendships, new excitement, new joys. Laughter and music have been ringing in the house ever since. With a twinkle in his eye, he smiled. You thought that with me around, you wouldn't have much fun, didn't you? Remember, I am come that you might have joy and that your joy might be full. Amen. Amen. Do you have a rec room? Is there a rec room in your life that's not glorifying to the Lord? Is there places that you go that you know that if Jesus came along with you, that you know that he would be very uncomfortable? Are you hanging around people that would be very uncomfortable for you and for Jesus just being in their presence? You see, to glorify God means I invite him in to every area of my life. It means that I can take him every place that I go. Now, sometimes on our journey, we might be led to places that are not glorifying. But we know that we're there for a purpose. We know that we're there, that God has us there for a reason. But we are not finding our fellowship there. We are not finding our source of joy there because we know that he came, that our joy might be full. So when you think about it, is your life glorifying God? The words that you say, do they glorify God? The actions that you perform, do they glorify God? And the attitudes that you have, do they glorify God? See, if God is living in us, then we glorify him in our bodies. And then finally, we see that these two facilities were devoted to the Lord's use. First of all, the tabernacle. Again, he said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God wanted to live among them, and he wanted the sanctuary devoted to him and to him alone. The temple, God told David that Solomon would build a house for his name, and that Solomon said, Lord, I have built a habitation for you and a place for your dwelling forever, forever. The tabernacle was devoted to God. And you remember when the Babylonians came in and they took captive the city of Jerusalem. And then what did they do? They tore down the temple. They destroyed the temple. But what did they do? They took all the vessels and the instruments out of the temple and they took them to Babylon. And then one night Belshazzar was having a party. And he was getting down, going downtown. And he got bold. And he said, let's bring these vessels that were in the temple. And let's get high using these vessels that were in the temple of God. And so they began to drink and get drunk and using the vessels from the temple of God. Now, remember, these things were what? Dedicated to God. They were dedicated to God's use. He took them and used them. And that night, there was a handwriting on the wall. Right when he was drinking, right out of the vessels, meanie, meanie, tekel, you pharisee, you have been weighted in the balance and found wanting. This night, the kingdom will be taken away from you. And I think it might have been a minute or two later, the Persians came in, the Medes came in and destroyed his empire. And so you can't take you can't take something that's been dedicated to God and use it for something else. You have been dedicated to God. That your body is dedicated. When you became a Christian, your body became dedicated to God. That's why he said in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have been dedicated to God. You are for God and God alone. And so Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, he says, neither yield ye your members, what are your members? Your hands, your feet, your eyes, legs, your whole body. That's your members. He said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That my members are dedicated. These hands are dedicated to God. These eyes are dedicated to God. Y'all like the song that the kids used to sing in Sunday school, "Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you do." Why? Because the Father up above is looking down with love. Be careful what you do, what you see, and where you go. Why? Because you have been dedicated to God. Your body is the temple of the living God. There was a great warrior who fought many battles and had many conquests. And he decided that he wanted to marry a lady from another country. And it worked out. And they were going to get married. But the one thing that had to happen, because her country was a very religious country, is that the man would have to get baptized. Now, his soldiers, his followers, they were loyal to him. And so because he was going to get baptized, then they all were going to get baptized just to follow their leader. So the day came for them to get baptized, and the priest came and said, "There's a problem." And what is the problem? "We cannot baptize people who shed blood. We cannot baptize members and body parts of people that shed blood." So they had some deliberation and some discussion, and they brought 500 priests. And these 500 priests came and baptized these 500 warriors, and they all had a sword in one hand, and they held their sword up, and they were all baptized. Everything was baptized except their arm, because that's what they shed blood with. As I read that story, I began to think, how many of God's people, the rest of your body is baptized, but your tongue hasn't been baptized? when you went down in the water, you went. Your tongue never made it. Now, we can go to other body parts too, right? Now, I'm not going to be graphic, but you know what I'm, you know. It didn't get baptized. Certain body parts didn't get baptized, right? You're saved. You're saved. But something didn't get baptized. God says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Your body is dedicated to God. Why? Because he lives in you. As I finish up this morning, I wanted to leave us with this temple that we have. How can we take care of this temple? If my body is the temple of the living God, what are some things that I should do? Let me give you four things to take care of God's temple. First is nutrition. Now, when I point one finger at you, three are pointing back at me. So I realize that. But God has given mankind food. He was very specific in Genesis 1:29 and 9:3. He gave us food to nourish our bodies. And so we should try to have a healthy lifestyle. That's not to say that you can't, you know, get a little piece of fried chicken every now and then, or, you know, some wings from over there at the joint in Wilkinsburg. But, you know. But generally, all seriousness, we should try to nourish our bodies. We should try to eat things that nourish our bodies. And I will say this, and I've become more and more convinced of this, is that we should try to drink a lot of water. Now, I know that that's hard, and it's hard for me. But I know that, you know, that's just a way to take. I'm talking about taking care of the temple. That's all I'm talking about. This is God's temple. We want to glorify him. So I'm just trying to give you some. Don't kill the postman. I'm just bringing the mail. All right. Here we go. All right. Here we go. I know. Exercise. Paul told Timothy that bodily exercise profiteth little. Even though he said it profits a little, it still profits. Exercise is a good way to take care of your temple. Now, you know, I see they even have these, you can get you a video and have a chair, right? You can sit in a chair and exercise. So, I mean, not like you have to, you know, go out and walk up and down the street or, you know, go to the gym and go to the health club. I mean, that's fine if that's what you do, but we need to move our body. You know, when you think about back in Jesus' day, you know, they didn't have to have aerobic classes and spin classes and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because they walked everywhere that they went, right? I mean, they were getting their exercise, you know, everywhere that they went. They were moving, they kept moving. But, you know, as time went on, we live in a sedentary society, you know, where our lifestyle was kind of laid back. And so taking care of the temple, right? One way to take care of it is exercise. Another way is rest. The psalmist said, "It is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late to eat the bread of sorrow." Why? Because God, the ones that he loves, the one that God loves, he gives his beloved sleep. God's desire is that we rest. Now, you know, again, I know this is an area that I struggle in, but I know and the statistics and the studies prove that when you don't rest well, that you actually are taking time off your life. So we need to do the best we can to rest. And then the last thing, how do we take care of God's temple? Nutrition, exercise, rest, and sanctification. Look at 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. Verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Now, we can get into a whole sermon on what it means to destroy, but that's not my point this morning. My point that I want to draw from this is that we are not to defile God's temple. You should not defile God's temple. How do we defile God's temple? Well, when we use this temple for sinful activities, we defile the temple. When we use it for sinful activities, when we consume harmful things, all right? Now, if we're taking drugs, you know, street drugs, if we're putting stuff in our body that is destroying our body, then we are defiling the temple. And so that's why, you know, we need to be careful what we allow, especially, you know, I'm going to say in the area of drugs, anything related to drugs that's coming into our body, it's defiling the temple. And God said, don't destroy the temple. And then another way that we destroy the temple is when we allow things to stress us out. You know, what are you doing? That when you are stressed out and you are worried, what's happening? You know, you start to get wrinkles in your skin. Your hair either turns gray or it turns loose. You start having all kind of problems. Why? Because of stress. And so when we find ourselves with unforgiveness, and we find ourselves with bitterness, and we find ourselves with anger, and we find ourselves with all these negative emotions welling up in us, then what is that doing? That's defiling the temple. And he said, don't defile the temple. That this is where the living God resides. And if that's where God resides, then we need to take care of this temple. Holiness in our bodies. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Holiness Must Be Intentional from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Holiness in the Body, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Holiness in the Body. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Holiness in the Body. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit anchoredinjesus.org, you can request the entire 10-part series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, you can visit anchoredinjesus.org or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Again, that's anchoredinjesus.org or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.